You've got to love that on this day, which is called the Reign of Christ, or in some places, the Feast of Christ the King, our Hebrew scriptures have a general theme. Our Hebrew scripture reading this evening has the general theme of kings are not a great idea at all. A message that our neighbors to the south may need to hear. But just like this morning, I'm not going to make any more mention of that. Perhaps we should also be asking ourselves what the value of a constitutional monarchy is in the 21st century. But I digress. I'm not sure if those who compiled the readings for today, both those we had this morning at our main parish Eucharist and the ones we just heard, are throwing shade on this feast of Christ the King or the Reign of Christ. Or maybe it's more accurate to say that those who put together our cycle of readings recognized that our scriptures are not univocal when it comes to kingship. They also recognize, it seems, how subversive much of the text on what we as human beings have commonly assumed about kings and governance and hierarchy is. In our reading from 1 Samuel today, this story of our Hebrew forebears relates to a time when Israel is governed by judges, those who are appointed to serve the people or raised up to serve the people and arbitrate their disputes and keep peace and make justice in the land. These are heroic characters, these judges, often saving the people from the consequences of their own unfaithfulness. And they might be better described, says one commentator, as chieftains than judges. It seems, though, certainly from what we read this evening, Israel was not satisfied and looked with envious eyes at other nations who had kings with fancy chariots and courts. And that's how we end up with the truth bomb about what kings are really like. And that, okay, but you ain't gonna like it, in the passage that we heard today, which meets the response, yeah, but we still want it. It seems that this passage is trying to set us up to think in different terms about what divine kingship, what divine reign might really be and might mean when held up against the reign of ordinary, fallible mortals. Just as we in our Christian scripture reading from the Gospel of John this evening are reminded that Christ the King, Christ the ruler, has a kingdom distinct from the way human kingdoms function. That was the theme, really, of this morning's sermon, an attempt to reconcile some of our innate distaste for the ideas of kings and hierarchy and rulers that we might hold in relation to a feast called the Reign of Christ, and the reminder that divine rule is rooted in love and consists of power beside or power with rather than power over. So for my thoughts now, I just want to hold up the problem of an image, of using the image of kingship or ruling when we talk about the divine. And we talk about a king. For we never talk about God as queen, except as a Scottish drag queen, which was a show recently in the Macpherson, which I really regret not being able to see. But it's not just king. It's most of the dominant images of the divine that are used in our traditional liturgy, summed up by theologian poet Brian Wren in his book, What Language Shall I Borrow?, as kingafap, king, God, almighty, father, protector. I don't think fap had another slang meaning when he coined this in 1989. Anyway, kingafap has various problems. The most obvious, and the reason Wren wrote his book, is that these are titles which have become and associated with maleness and masculinity in a toxic, hierarchical, and dominating way. The idea of God described predominantly as a powerful king, an almighty being, a father figure, and a protector springs from and perpetuates patriarchal stereotypes which deny the fullness of God talk within our scriptures and are within our tradition. Here at St. John's, we try to use words carefully because we recognize the complex interplay between the way words reflect our reality and the way they create our reality and our ways of being. When the most common images of the divine that we have are such limited male-focused images, then we will believe in a patriarchal God. When, as many do, such images are taken to be literal descriptions of God, and we are told, as I have been told at the door of this very church after a service, that the only words I should ever use in a blessing are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Ghost, in this service, I guess, because that's all the Bible allows me to say, then we have narrowed down and anthropomorphized the divine to such a degree that God is not God, just a big dude somewhere up in the sky. No wonder atheists accuse us of worshipping a sky fairy who dresses up in a human suit occasionally and then as a ghost at other times. The church has brought it on ourselves by not using the expansive, beyond gender, beyond imagination, an analogous, mythic, poetic, and mysterious language that our forebears have granted and gifted us. We have thrown out our judges and demanded a king, language-wise. And we have done the same again and again as we have perpetuated structures and models of being church which continue to elevate individuals and create hierarchies rather than the rich, diverse, and equal community that Christ calls us to be. So on this festival of the reign of Christ, let us remember that Christ shows us that reigning means being in, alongside and in all things in love, and that in Christ there is no Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Amen.